Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Do you have a dog? Well, researchers from more than half a dozen universities across the country are embarking on what may be the largest open study on aging ever undertaken, and the subjects are going to be dogs, maybe yours. It's funded by a $50 million grant from the National Council on Aging, part of the National Institutes of Health, and the goal is to find out about human aging by studying dogs, because both share many of the same diseases, genetic markers, and personality traits. The difference, of course, is that with shorter lifespans, the aging process in dogs unspools more quickly. Sad, but they can teach us things about humans. And the cool thing is, owners of dogs picked for the project can also learn about their dogs. Daniel Promislow is a professor of pathology and biology at the University of Washington. He's founding director of the Canine Longevity Consortium and co-leader of the Dog Aging Project. We spoke to him nearly 4 years ago when this project was in its infancy. Now it's officially underway. We'll have links at herenow.org. So Daniel, start with more about why dogs.
Dogs are a great study system, and in fact, not only to learn about human aging, but to learn about dog aging as well. The other reason that dogs are so great to study is because they are so variable. Just take a walk in a dog park or along a busy street. There are big dogs, small dogs. Dogs vary in their behavior, and dogs also vary in how long they live. From the largest breeds, which might only live 6 or 7 years on average, mm-hmm. to the smallest breeds, which could easily live 17 or 18 years. And each breed has its unique spectrum of diseases. We also know that, in general, mixed breed dogs or mutts tend to live longer than purebred dogs. So there's a huge amount of variation, but everything is sped up so that what would take many decades to learn in humans, we can learn from dogs in just a few years.
That's why they say that for every dog year, it's 7 human years. And that can be heartbreaking. You know, if you have a dog that only makes it to 6 or 7 years, I had a Chihuahua that made it to 19. So you're going to have people, and we'll at herenow.org, we'll tell them exactly how to do this. They can nominate their dog. So how do they do this? What is it that you want to know from them?
It's so easy. All you have to do is go to dogagingproject.org. You'll see a little button there to nominate your dog. And there are a couple of steps. The first step is to fill out a really easy survey. It'll just take you 2 or 3 minutes, your name and your dog's name, a little bit about your dog. And then shortly after that, might be a couple of weeks, after you fill out that, we'll take all that information in, and then we'll begin inviting people to fill out a health and life experience survey that will tell us all about your dog. And as soon as you complete that survey, we can start doing science with your dog.
Okay. And then we understand that the Dog Aging Project is also going to have a small number of dogs as opposed to the huge number that you're going to have in the age study. A small number of dogs that might also be chosen for a clinical trial of rapamycin?
So we're going to be collecting samples from 10,000 dogs for the longitudinal study. We like to think of that study as really illustrating the power of paying attention and just watching what happens over years and years as dogs get older. This is going to be the largest study of aging in dogs that anyone has ever done. And about 4% or 5% of those 10,000 dogs will be enrolled in a clinical study testing the ability of a drug called rapamycin to improve what we call health span or healthy lifespan. In the lab, rapamycin makes worms and flies and mice live healthier longer. We want to find out if that's true in dogs as well.
And, of course, information that can then maybe perhaps be transferred to human lives.
That's right.
I mean, we understand you're going to sequence genomes, look at the biome of the 10,000 dogs that are in the larger study. How are you going to do that? Do people take their dog to a vet or something? What happens there?
So we're going to be watching 10,000 dogs over their lifetime, collecting samples. For all 10,000, we're going to collect cheek swabs, and we can use those to sequence their genome. And that then allows us to genetically map variation among dogs.
And, will people do this themselves, get the cheek swab, or
will
you go to them?
We will send the cheek swab to people's homes. They will swab their dog's cheek. It's really easy. put it in an envelope.
I don't know. You try the dogs I've had would not let me swab their cheeks, but people will do this, I'm sure.
And if you need help from your veterinarian, I'm sure that he or she will be happy to help you. And then you just send that cheek swab in, and we will cover the cost of sequencing the genome of your dog. And then we will ask whether variation in the genome is associated with variation in the frequency of particular diseases or behaviors. And we'll also collect environmental variation, air quality, water quality, whether you use pesticides in your home, whether you have carpeting or hardwood in your home, how close the parks are, all that kind of environmental information. And then for as many dogs as we can afford, at least 1,000, maybe more, we'll also collect molecular biology information. And that tells us not only which genes are affecting which traits, but why they're affecting traits. It also gives us the opportunity to identify molecular biomarkers that might predict, for example, whether a dog is at high risk of a particular disease, or if it's diagnosed with a disease, what its prognosis might look like.
Well, and are you going to share this information with the owners? Because some of that might be hard to handle, knowing that, oh, my dog's already got something I didn't even know, or has a prognosis that they will get something, at least they have a strong chance.
One of the really exciting things to me about the Dog Aging Project is that it's what we call an open science project. So we will share the data. After protecting the privacy of the owners, we will share the data with anyone who wants to study it, with all scientists. Of course, we'll also share individual data about a dog with the owner through the veterinarian. And that can only be a good thing because the veterinarian can help the owner make better decisions. Of course, a lot of the information, we may not yet know what it means, but over the years, by doing the science, we will come to know what all of this information means, for example, with the molecular data that we collect.
Give me an example of the dream that you have that will also translate to learning about human aging.
So first, I want to tell you that this project is already fulfilling a lifelong career dream for me to create a team of experts in all these different disciplines to do truly interdisciplinary science. I think the most exciting questions are often in between the disciplines. And the Dog Aging Project is the most interdisciplinary project that I've ever been involved in. That's been really exciting. But there's also the potential that we'll learn not only about aging in dogs, we'll also learn about aging in people. Dogs get the same diseases that we get. Their healthcare system is second only in sophistication to our own healthcare system. They live in our environment, and in many ways, they experience our environment more intensely than we do. They're often home all day while we're off at work. They're more likely to drink water from the tap rather than from a bottle. They're rolling in the yard rather than walking on it like we do. So what we learn about dogs is likely to apply to humans. And because everything is sped up in dogs also have the potential to be what we call sentinels. So everything is sped up in dogs, including the probability that they get a particular disease. So if there's an environmental risk factor, for example, there might be an air pollutant that's associated with some disease, it might take decades to show up in humans. If we see a cluster of that disease in dogs after just a couple of years, we can then turn to their owners and make sure that they're doing okay, give them preventative care potentially. So there are a lot of ways in which the Dog Aging Project can help human health and aging as well.
Well, you say sentinel. They're the canary in the coal mine thinking that we might see health problems in a cluster of dogs and realize that down the road that same health problem may impact humans.
That's right. I mean, for example, we're seeing the spread of new vectors of infectious disease throughout the country. Sometimes the signs of those diseases show up first in dogs who are outside a lot more than it does in humans.
Fascinating. That's Daniel Promislow, founding director of the Canine Longevity Consortium and now co-leader of the Dog Aging Project. If you want Fido or Mo, if you have a Mo too, to be involved, just go to hearnow.org and you can start the process there. Daniel, thank you so much.
It's really been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you.
And again, the Dog Aging Project is open to dogs of all ages, all breeds, as long as they live in the U.S., like no flights are provided to get them here, there's no cost to participate.